Okay, so now we're moving into Maariv of Shabbos. So we mentioned Maariv is Daven at night. Since we're currently removed from any of the understanding of the connection to that spiritual aura that comes from the third base of Migdash, and therefore Maariv is also a Tfilas Rishus. Rav Moshe Wilson tells us that there's a time each week that even today in the darkness of this difficult Golos, when our neshamas are transported to a place in the realm of the future, a day that is Me'ein Olam Haba, a semblance of the world to come, a day of intense spiritual light. And the Medrash HaChatov tells us that Shabbos is a day in which darkness does not serve. During each of the 6 days of creation, the Pasuk says, Vayhi Erev, Vayhi Voker, and it was evening and it was morning. However, by Shabbos, it does not say, Vayhi Erev, and it was evening. Shabbos is a day when our neshamos feel a connection to the third base Hamikdash. When a Jew experiences Shabbos the way it was intended, he merits a taste of what Yaakov Avinu experienced as his neshama soared in tefillah at the site of the house of Hashem. And the Shulchan Aruch says that it's proper to daven Maariv earlier than usual on Friday evening, since the light of Shabbos comes from a future time, a time of spiritual bliss and utter clarity. And therefore, this Maariv may be recited during daylight hours, just as Yaakov daven Maariv when it was still light. And the Zohar tells us on Friday night, Maariv is a chova. The reason is that since when Mashiach comes, we will daven Maariv as Yaakov did, with a proper perception and clarity. Therefore, it will be a chova, just like Shachris and Mincha. So even in the darkness of Golos, the light of Shabbos allows us to daven Maariv on a level that makes it a chova even today. And we do not begin Maariv with the typical V'hu Rachum, as we do all week. And Rabbeinu Bachai explains that there are three malachim responsible for punishing the souls of the Rishayim and Gehenim. One of them is named Mashchis, one of them is named Af, and one of them is named Chema. And all three are mentioned in this pasuk. However, we omit this pasuk on Friday night, since these three malachim have no power on Shabbos. And even the neshamos, the souls of the Rishayim, are allowed to rest on this holy day. So now if we skip towards the end of the brachos, the only change we make is the end of Hashkivenu. And we say, Ufros aleinu sukha shalomecha, baruch ata Hashem hapore sukha shalom aleinu val kol ma Yisrael val Yerushalayim. And spread over us the shelter of your peace. Blessed are you, Hashem, who spreads the shelter of peace upon us, upon all his people, Yisrael, and upon Yerushalayim. And the Torah points out that we do not end the bracha of Hashkivenu with the usual shomer amo Yisrael la'ad, who protects his people Yisrael forever, as we do during the week. Because on Shabbos we do not need protection, as Shabbos herself protects us from harm. And the Taz asks that there's an apparent contradiction in the fact that we do not end the bracha with the usual Shomer Amo Yisrael Ad, as the Torah stated, and yet we still say, Ushmert Seiseinu Uvoeinu L'chaim L'shalom, safeguard our going and coming for life and for eternity, which is a tefillah for protection. And he explains that the closing of the bracha describes Hashem as the protector of his people la'ad forever, which seems to connote that the level of protection is the same at all times. However, this is not the case, because Hashem ordered Shabbos to protect us. However, the Taz explains that this only applies to those who observe Shabbos properly. And since we cannot claim to observe all the halachos relating to the lamates malachos with perfection, so we cannot rely on the protection of Shabbos alone. And therefore we must ask for Hashem's protection in the prelude to the closure of this bracha. The Siddur Yaivet says that as a nation, we do not need protection from the forces of evil on Shabbos, so we do not recite the closing that praises Hashem for guarding Klal Yisrael. However, each individual does need protection and must daven for it in the prelude to the end of the bracha. And the Shibboleth HaLeket gives a mashal. There was once a king that had lost his way, and he had somehow become separated from his army and its officers, and he finds himself all alone. And therefore now he must take up arms to protect himself from the enemy who seeks to find him and kill him. And the king waits, clutching his rifle, hoping that he will be reunited with his army. And finally he finds his soldiers and is reunited with them. And the first thing that he does is he lays down his weapon. He no longer needs it, as he's protected by the officers who surround him. And like the king and the mashal, during the week, the Jewish people are afraid that since they are so preoccupied with their weekday obligations, they're unable to perform many mitzvos, since the weekdays do not have many opportunities for merit as Shabbos does. So therefore we daven to Hashem to shield us from the enemy. He must be that Shomer Amo Yisrael, he must be this tefillah, which is our weapon. But when Shabbos comes, we are busy l'kavod Shabbos, and we concentrate on ways to fulfill the mitzvah of Onik Shabbos. This merit protects those who remember Shabbos and sanctify it. And therefore we do not need extra protection, and it is enough to end off the bracha with shalom. Our weekday shomer does not need to issue special security for us on Shabbos. Our mitzvos afford us the shelter, the safety, and fortification we are solely lacking during the week. And the Shari Tshuva quotes from the Talmidei HaRizal that when one says the words Ufros Aleinu Sukkah Shlomecha, he should rise at that point and welcome the Neshama Yisera that we receive on Friday night. We then follow with the Tefillah of Vishamru B'nei Yisrael Shabbos. And we follow Ashkivenu with this Tefillah of Vishamru because when we keep the laws of Shabbos, Shabbos protects us. And in Lashon HaKodesh, the root Shamar means to keep and protect. So one who is Shomer Shabbos, who keeps Shabbos, receives Shmira, receives protection from Shabbos. Furthermore, Chazal tell us that if all Klal Yisrael observes two Shabbosos, Mashiach will come. And therefore, the Avudraham tells us, since this pasuk discusses redemption, it's not considered an interruption, a hefsik, between the rule of saying Geula and Tefillah together. And this Tefillah speaks of the special bond we have with Hashem, a bond we have because we keep Shabbos. In it we say, Osila Olam, it's a sign forever. Our keeping of Shabbos is an eternal sign that shows we are connected to Him in a singular way. And Chazal teach us that if one keeps the Shabbos, it's as if he kept the entire Torah. And conversely, if one desecrates the Shabbos, it's as if he desecrated the entire Torah. And Rabbi Chiel Sparrow tells us we can understand this concept from the Gemara that Hashem told Moshe, Matana Tova Yeshli Beis Ginzai V'Shabbos Shema, I have a good present in my treasure house, and Shabbos is its name. As long as we keep Shabbos and cherish it, we have shown how important this gift is to us. But the moment that we no longer treasure it, the second we stop adoring it and instead reject it, the relationship is over. Shabbos is that os, is that sign. And the Chofetz Chaim brings a mashal. He says, if you pass by a store and you see it's closed, as long as the sign is outside, you know the store is still there. However, once the sign comes down, we know the store has gone out of business. And Hashem opened a business for us called Yiddishkeit. And throughout our history, the business has gone through many stages, from great success and good fortune to more problematic times. And when the business is good, the Jews are davening, learning, and doing chesed. Unfortunately, there are times that we do not perform so well and the business takes a downturn. Yet no matter how many averus a Jew commits, as long as he keeps Shabbos and the other crucial signs of Tefillin and Bris Milah, his sign is still hanging outside the door. He is still in business and is considered a practicing Jew. But if we ever fail in that regard, if we determine that we no longer want it, we no longer want to keep Shabbos, then in essence we have climbed up to the top of the storefront window and we have removed the sign. He gave us this sign, this special gift, and we have told him that we don't want any part of that relationship. And Rabbi Sparrow says this rejection of his special gift is akin to the rejection, therefore, of the entire Torah. And he says how tragically ironic it is that many Yidden in the earlier times in America closed the store by keeping theirs open. And so, too, at the same time, many thousands refused to close the store. And they were adamant about keeping their relationship with Hashem intact no matter the cost. They sacrificed everything to be able to hold on to the Torah. They knew how precious it is. They fought to keep the store open. And today their family's business is booming. And on Yontif, instead of a Shomru, we say the Pasuk of Vayidaber Moshe. And the Avudraham tells us that this Pasuk alludes to Geula from Mitzrayim. And therefore, once again, is not considered a hefsik between Geula and Tefillah. Moving into the Shmona Esrei, the Shabbos Amidah.
Can I talk for a second?
Yes.
Is there a reason that you can think of why Vishamru is left out by...
Minika Gro also does. I don't know the reason, though. I don't know the reason for that. So the introduction to the Shabbos Amidah. So during the week, when we daven Shmona Esrei, as we know, we say 18, say 19 brachos, but on Shabbos, we only say 7. And Rabbi Chiel Sparrow asks the obvious question, it should be the opposite. On Shabbos, we have more time to daven, our neshamas are in an elevated state. We should daven a longer Shmona Esrei and not a shorter one. And he explains that the Medrash tells us that during the week, the middle brachos, as we know, are brachos of bakashos, of requests. And we don't say requests on Shabbos because they will diminish our happiness and joy of the Shabbos day. For example, when one says the bracha of Rifa'enu, where we ask Hashem to heal those who are ill, he might begin to think of someone who he knows is ill. And he'll become concerned or upset on Shabbos. And Shabbos was given as a day of menucha and oneg, of rest and joy, and not for any tzar or pain. Thus we recite only the first three brachos of shvach, of praise, the last three brachos of hodah, of thanks, with one bracha about Shabbos in the middle. The Rishalmi tells us that it's forbidden to ask for one's needs on Shabbos unless it's part of the regular davening. And therefore, one really should recite the middle brachos. However, the Gemara tells us that out of the honor of Shabbos, the Chachamim said not to recite them, so not to bother a person to recite so many brachos on Shabbos. And the halachic difference, the nafkamina between the Medrash and the Gemara is, if one accidentally started a bracha from the weekday Shmona Esrei, what should he do? So according to the Gemara, he would finish it, and then return to the Shabbos text, which is what we do if we make this mistake. While according to the Medrash, he would stop immediately and continue with the Shabbos text. Rav Zev Lev tells us, since we follow the ruling that a request that's part of the regular tefillah is permitted, there are other points in the davening in the tefillos where we therefore do recite personal requests on Shabbos. The Shlach Kaddish gives a different reason for not reciting these middle brachos of Bakasha. He says that during the week we ask Hashem for all types of things. We're asking for parnasa, for health, redemption. But on Shabbos we enter an entirely new world, a world where our needs become secondary because all we need is Him. Just as a husband and a wife who have been separated for a long time, when they are back home, at that moment nothing else exists as they have each other. We, our neshamos, have been away from the Shekhinah for a long time, the whole week. And now that they are together again, how could we think about anything else? And the questions ask is, why do we say seven brachos? Where did that number come for the Shabbos Amidah? And the Gemara explains that the seven brachos correspond to the seven times that it says the words Kol Hashem in Kapitel Chaf Tes, while the 18 brachos of the weekday Shemoneh Esrei also correspond to Kapitel Chaf Tes. There it's to the 18 times that the Shem Havaya is mentioned. And the Marsha says that since the 18 brachos correspond to the 18 names of Hashem, symbolizing divine mercy, therefore they must be recited in an undertone, for one does not demand mercy in a loud voice. However, on Shabbos we do not invoke mercy, but rather we utilize the Amidah to praise Hashem, and praise should be delivered aloud. And therefore, the Marsha really holds that these seven brachos, which correspond to the word kol of a voice, denoting it should be said in an audible volume. The Intfila brings another reason for the number seven, and he says, since in Kapitel Chaf Tes, it hints to the giving of the Torah, and we know that the Torah was given on Shabbos, so we recite seven brachos corresponding to the seven kolos. And also, there are those who, when counting out the Chumashim, they count really seven, as they divide Sefer Bamidbar into three separate Svarim, the first Sefer, I believe, being Til Vayihi Ben Soa, Vayihi Ben Soa being its own, and then the following those two Psukim would be the third part of Sefer Bamidbar. The Mabit tells us that a spiritually sensitive person can hear Hashem speaking to him through the phenomena of nature. The perfection of the natural world is hinted at by the number seven, which represents the 6 days of creation and Shabbos. So the seven brachos of Shabbos are the voice of Hashem manifesting itself through nature, which is completed on Shabbos. During the week, it is our voice that we wish to hear, while on Shabbos, we get to hear Hashem's voice. And the reason for this, the Yin Yaakov explains, is that the Kol Hashem is the Kol HaTorah. And this call is heard more strongly on Shabbos, since we are at rest and not hampered by mundane pursuits that interfere with our ability to learn. And the Ben Yoyada gives another reason for the seven brachos. He says that on Shabbos, we say one central bracha, which signifies our trust, our betachon in Hashem, who will provide for all our needs as our King. And the Torah points out that on Yontif, we recite the same text at each Shemoneh Esrei. We say Atav Echartanu, and every Shemoneh Esrei is the same. Whereas on Shabbos, each tefillah has its own unique text. And he explains that each of these three tefillos correspond to a different Shabbos in our history. At Marav, we say Ataki Dashta, which corresponds to the first Shabbos of creation, as is obvious from the mention of Hashem creating the world in 6 days and resting on the seventh. At Shachris, we say Yismach Moshe, which corresponds to Matan Torah, which occurred on Shabbos. And this is why we mention Moshe receiving the Luchos. And at Mincha, we recite Ata Echad, which corresponds to the Shabbos we will celebrate in the days to come. And the Tashbatz Katan explains that we say Avram Yogel, Yitzchak Yiranin, Yaakov Avonov, Yenuchuvo, that this refers to that wonderful ecstasy that the Avos will have when they're resurrected at the time of Mashiach, and that they and Yisrael will experience at the revelation of Hashem at the time of the Geula. And the Tefillah says that we say Ata Echad v'Shimcha Echad, which refers to this wonderful age when Hashem's perfect oneness will be appreciated fully. And the Shlach Kaddish tells us that just as Hashem is HaYahoveh V'Yeh, just as Hashem is, and will be, Shabbos also alludes to that past, present, and future. The Shabbos of Bereishis signifies the past, since Hashem rested on that day. The Shabbos of Matan Torah indicates the present, as we live by the Torah's principles, and it guides us in our daily living. And the Shabbos Shel Asad Lavo expresses Yeh, for on that day Hashem will be recognized as one. And the Shlach explains that these three Shabbosos encapsulate the three most fundamental beliefs of a Jew. Shabbos Bereishis teaches us about the Metzias Hashem, the existence of Hashem, who created the world. The Shabbos of Matan Torah conveys the essential message that Hashem gave us the Torah from Shemayim. And the Shabbos Shel Asad Lavo conveys that belief that there will be a schar and onesh, a reward and a punishment, because at that time he will reward those who merit and punish the evildoers. The Avujaham tells us differently. He says that on Friday night we are like a chosin and Shabbos is like the kala. And just as the chosin is mekadesh as kala, so too we are mekadesh the Shabbos as we say Ata Kidashta. In the morning we rejoice with Shabbos just as the chosin rejoices with his kala, and therefore we say Yismach Moshe. We then say Musaf, the tefillah which is said in place of the additional karbonos brought on Shabbos to symbolize the custom that the chosin promises the kala additional support beyond her ksuva. And finally, we say Ata Echad, which represents the yichud of the chosin and the kala, the being together. The Matei Moshe learns very similarly, except that he says really Hashem's the chosin and we're the kala. And on Friday night, Hashem is mekadesh us. Shabbos morning, we get to rejoice with Hashem. And at mincha, we go into the yichud room. It's just us and him. And that's why it's a moment where many will dim the lights and sing meaningful songs and really connect to Shabbos and to Hashem. The story or the email and the homework.
What do you mean by dim the lights?
If you ever seen like a Chassid Shatish, they shut the lights by Shal Shudas to bring this more of a...
Oh,
like a
cover over the light or something?
They have, a timer that shuts it off, I would guess.
Oh, okay.
I don't think they actually physically. Although once we had, I forgot who it was here. They brought a guy to shut the lights off.
Oh, really?
It makes there something more, brings it another level to the tish then. So the Gemara comments that tefillah is among the Devarim Ha'omdim Berumo Shel Olam Ubnei Adam Mezalzelim Behem. That tefillah is among the matters that stand at the pinnacle of the world, but people belittle them. And the Baal Shem Tov explains that when we do not see that our tefillahs are being answered immediately, we lose hope in their ability to achieve what we want. But this is only because we do not know what's happening in the heavens. The truth is that every tefillah stands berumo shel olam in those highest levels of Shemayim and is stored there by Hashem until the time comes for them to be used. And the Gemara later, Masechta Brachos, lists four things that require chizek. There one has to reinforce his commitment, and one of those four is tefillah. That no matter how many times we've heard about the power of tefillah, it's never enough. We need to take full advantage of this remarkable gift. And if we really know what tefillah accomplishes, we would never stop davening. Tefillah can take a man of average intelligence and turn him into a genius. Tefillah can take a lonely woman and turn her into a happily married wife. Tefillah can take a childless woman and fill her home with beautiful children. Tefillah can take a dying man and add years to his life. Tefillah can take a couple on the brink of divorce and restore their harmony. And tefillah can take a struggling family and make them wealthy. The power of tefillah is awesome. And we have to talk to Hashem about what we need. We have a great amount of influence. Many things happen over the course of any given day. Some we are happy with and some not, but they are all a result of nothing else besides the will of Hashem. Anything that happens is what Hashem wanted to happen, and anything that does not happen is what Hashem does not want to happen. And our words of sincere tefillah have a profound impact upon the Ratzon Hashem, the will of Hashem. And if we know how to daven properly, we can be answered immediately. It depends on our sincere feelings and our belief in Hashem's unlimited capability to grant these tefillos. And he brings a story which we mentioned, but it's worth mentioning again. There was once a man living in Eretz Yisrael who was not very observant and struggled to make a living through his store. And the store was a 20-minute drive from his home, and occasionally during the day he had to pick up merchandise and make deliveries. And therefore, he relied heavily on his car. And one morning on his way to work, another driver ran a stop sign and crashed into his car at high speed. He was all right, but the car was wrecked. He got out of the car and started shouting at the woman who caused the accident. The man asked her for her information, and she broke down in tears. "I don't have insurance," she said, "and I can't afford anything. Please just let me go. I'm a struggling woman. I have nobody to help me." And her cry softened his heart, so he let her go. She thanked him and pulled away. He then realized that now he was stuck without a car. He had no way of getting to and from his store, making deliveries and pickups, and he did not have the money to repair his car. Suddenly, in this moment of desperation, he turned to tefillah. With his heart, he turned to Hashem and said, "Hashem, I heard the woman's cries and accepted her plea. Please hear my cries and accept my plea. Give me a livelihood so I can pay my bills, fix my car, and get back on my feet." He then walked into a nearby convenience store and bought a lottery ticket for that day's drawing. He won 1,000,000 shekels. He prayed from the depths of his heart with sincere feeling and emotion, and he was immediately answered. Sometimes we see results immediately, whereas on other occasions it takes time. But each and every tefillah has an impact, and this is something we need to remember every time we daven. And obviously the homework is, as we go into Marv next Friday night, to think about what the Marv is, what we're saying at the end of Hashkiveinu and Vishamru, what we're about to do as we go into the Shabbos Amidah. But more importantly, is to take the week, as we have a complete week, to daven and use the power of these tefillos to make this upcoming Tisha B'Av and Yud B'Av a day of Yontav and Simcha, as opposed to a day of fasting and of Avelos. And in that way, we should be Zocha to the coming of Mashiach.